In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Merry fourth day of Christmas, I think this is, for the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, those children of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, who were massacred by Herod, who was attempting to assassinate the Savior. Obviously unsuccessful. And quite a lot to talk about in today's feast. I mean, there's a kind of philosophical anthropology we're going to talk about. There's dogma. There's some moral lessons. There's all kinds of stuff. But what the fathers of the church say is that these children were martyrs indeed. For a mass for children who have died below the age of reason, their color is always white because they're below the age of reason. They've committed no sin. They're incapable of separating themselves from God. So if children have been baptized, it's always white. But these innocents have red. How is that possible? Red is for martyrs. Red is for those who have confessed Christ, with their lips, with their mouths, with their death. They have said that I believe in Christ and I'm willing to die for it. So why do these little innocents get red when they were just killed? There was no intentionality behind it, right? Because the church says, actually, God gave them a miraculous use of their reason prior to the time so that they understood what was happening and that they freely gave their lives for Christ. That's why they're red. They are martyrs indeed. And the prayer for today says these holy innocents confessed Christ, not with their lips, not by speaking, but by their death, is how they confess to Christ. And that's very interesting in that it is, this is why, I mean, life begins at conception, because the human soul doesn't grow in terms of its capacity. Every human soul, and in fact every mind, is not limited except by the body that it inhabits. So the reason that children don't understand things is not because the mind is not capable, it's because the brain is not capable. And because of that we are creatures of body and soul, we access our soul through the body, through the brain. And that's why you'll see old persons, doesn't matter how intelligent, how experienced, how wise an old person is, you know, living a life full of wisdom and learning, when they get Alzheimer's and the brain deteriorates, they begin to act like children, right? They can't access the mind because the brain is not functioning. So that's the same way with children on the other end. The reason that we, you know, children are seen as to be not, they don't have the use of their reason is not because of the soul, not because of a deficiency of the mind, but the brain isn't developed. So they were capable, the children were capable of understanding exactly what was going on, and that is what God did for their mind. He helped them to understand, and they were able to make that sacrifice. This is important for us, this feast day, to understand that's possible, because these children had baptism of blood, right? You give your life for Christ, even though you didn't have sacramental baptism, you received all the graces of baptism, right? Because of that giving of your life for Christ. What's the other kind of baptism? Baptism of desire. And this is knowing what baptism is, knowing what salvation is, and desiring it, even though you're not able to receive the actual sacrament. Now, who fits that category? Well, I mean, catechumens, right, who are going through instruction and they want to be baptized, they're going to be baptized. If they die beforehand, this is the famous quote from, I believe it was Gregory the Great, who said that, his desire saved him, right? His desire counted for baptism. Now, what about children killed by abortion? No baptism. Or miscarried children who never had the opportunity for baptism. How can those children be saved? I think it was Fulton Sheen every morning would get holy water and he would sprinkle holy water in the four directions and he would pray for baptism of desire for all those children killed by abortion. Because if God can give a super added intelligence to these holy innocents to make them understand what was going on and freely give their lives for Christ, by our prayers, God can give a super added intelligence or a super added ability to children killed by abortion to give them the opportunity to accept baptism of desire. But these graces are not just given. They have to be prayed for. So that is where we come in. We can pray for aborted children to be given the grace of that use of their mind, to understand what salvation is, to understand what baptism is, and to be given the grace of baptism of desire. And that would be very easy, because guess what? I mean, anybody can have baptism of desire. But if they've lived a life of sin, they also have to have, in addition to baptism of desire, they have to repudiate all errors contrary to the faith which they have made contracted during their life. They have to make an act of perfect contrition of all the sins they've committed during their life. They have to make an act of submission to the magisterial authority of the church and all these other things they have to do. The children killed by abortion, they don't have to do any of that. They've committed no sin. They don't believe anything contrary to the church because they don't believe anything yet. It's very easy for them to submit to the magisterium because, I mean, they're never going to have to anyways. So all they need is baptism of desire. All they have to do is assent to the truths of the faith. Assent to, yes, I would like to be baptized. And that can be given, right, at that moment of death when their life, still not even born yet, is ripped away from them horribly, violently in the womb. So I would like on this feast day for us to pray for that. So for us to begin praying for baptism of desire for all of these poor children killed by abortion. And two, for any mothers who have their children, who miscarry their children, right? As soon as a woman gets pregnant, she starts praying for, if he doesn't make it, baptism of desire. It's possible that grace can be given. So, you know, this is not, this is the beauty of the faith, right? God desires the salvation of all men. And in the infallibly declared doctrines of the church, there's all kinds of room for God to work these miracles. So no cause for being upset, no cause for being lacking in hope or being distraught over all these souls and these poor children who never had the chance. They do have the chance, but we have to give it to them through our prayers and sacrifices. So that's what I would like us to do on this feast day, is to begin praying for that, for those poor aborted children, and pray very much indeed and believe in that great mercy of God. And, you know, it's a horrible thing. But just like those children murdered by Herod, that was horrible, but now they're in heaven, right? Gloriously giving that witness for Christ. And these are even the proto-martyrs before Stephen the proto-martyr. They were like the proto-proto-martyrs, even before he was. So that's what God wants. God does not necessarily want to save our physical body, physical life. He wants to save our spiritual life. He wants to save us from eternal death, not physical death. So these horrible things are going on. I mean, abortion and this and that and all these things. We can turn it to good. But it is always by prayer, it is always by God's grace that it is turned into good. God can take any evil and turn it into to a great good. Let's believe in that and pray for that. So all holy innocents, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.